So officially again, hello everyone, and welcome to our Christ Blessing Service for this beautiful day, January the 27th, 2013. And I'm so pleased and gratified to see so many people coming to receive His blessing and to share with one another, because surely and truly, as we share and we receive together, the blessings are magnified for everyone. This is why we all love to go to church. But today, unfortunately, the people we feel the closest to sometimes are spread out around the world and not conveniently available in our local community. And so we provide for that. And as I look through the calls here, I see people from France, England, Germany, Australia, Canada, and I haven't seen everybody yet, but I'm sure that we have even more countries than that. Sometimes we have callers from South Africa. That's awesome. Or Japan. Amazing. And it's just, it's so gratifying to think of what a small community we are, united in love. And I think it's unity by love that works the real miracles within humanity and on our planet. It's the one thing we can always use more of. I think we can never get enough of this feeling of personal love, of being it, giving it, receiving it, but more than that, uniting in it. Because it's just like what Yeshua said, when two or more are joined in my name, there will I be also. And he wasn't just talking about the name Yeshua, or Son of God, or as he came to be called later in history, Jesus. It's about the love that he is. When we are joined in the love that he is, the love he brought to the earth, the love he provides for us endlessly, that love is magnified, and we are all blessed. So we are here on this day to magnify it more and receive his blessings further and to enjoy our wonderful community of friends and seekers and those who come to the well to dip their cup in his love. I would love to hear from some callers. Remember, the way you come on the call is star 6 and then follow the prompt to press 1. Star 6, unmute your phone, because I've muted everybody just through the actions of the control panel here, and that keeps the noise down. But a star 6, unmute your phone. Now, you may have to unmute it also on your own phone if you did that mechanically on your end. That's why sometimes I clear a line and we can't hear our caller, and I'll say, you need to unmute your telephone. But that's not true with most of you. Most of you were on a clear and open line that was sending a chatterbird signal into our conference, which is just natural when people are not muted. And so I muted it. Now you unmute it with star 6 and then press 1 to talk. So you could be on the call, on the Q&A, and don't worry about if you, you know, if I have other people or maybe someone's not ready to talk right now. That's okay. I see some people becoming active speakers but not signing in yet. So I guess I will take a drink of water and I'll just speak to you a little bit about Mara, would you come on the line? I see you're having some effort trying to mute your call.
I believe I got it now.
Okay, were you trying to get on the line?
Yes, I was, but you know, they didn't ask for one, and so I thought, well, I didn't punch it, but then nothing happened, so then I did the one. The main reason I came on was because I had a message today, that I that fits perfectly into how you opened today on community, and many of the others were talking about community, and I wanted to share it because it kind of illustrates. So wonderful to hear from you. We are fine here in the fires. This woman is my friend from Australia.
Okay.
Thank you so much for asking. Wow, yes, the fires here are all over the world news, and not anyone has said, how are you doing, but you. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's amazing.
That is
wonderful, and that is exactly what I'm talking about. And that's how important it is that we do share in community. Mara, I was not aware of the fires in Australia. Perhaps
I'm sure that's true of many people.
Perhaps you could make a post on our Blessing Givers blog site, our group site, and we can orchestrate some blessings around that.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you.
I think that would be a great contribution. Thank you so much. I noticed some other people were trying to come in, and they were unmuting their telephone and then not making it into the Q&A. It may be that our company has changed its protocol and no longer ask for the for you to it may just be counting on you to go ahead and press 1. So it is still *6. Pause 1. You have to let the unmute occur first. Otherwise, it registers *61, and that doesn't get the job done. So *6, pause 1. And I see some other people now trying, and I hope you make it in. I will, until you do, I'll just go ahead and be speaking, because I like to use our precious time together for inspiration and sharing and the building of this very, very wonderful community that we have. You probably have all received the promotion that I sent out on our next webinar. And whether it works for you to enroll now and take it, of course, that entirely depends upon your interest and time availability. But the basic principles behind this webinar are I'm going to mute a couple of people because there were sounds coming in. And the basic principles behind this webinar are universal to how our life works, from the very creation of the universe to the very creation of your life. Have you ever wondered how the decisions were made for you to be the person that you are, to be born into the family you were born into, and of all the billions of souls, why it was you that got to live this life? Well, let's go back to the very beginning of the universe. The entire universe was created out of the attractor field of love. Even scientists can only take it back so far until they hit a zero-point field. And that zero-point field is in a kind of random, almost static motion that is not really doing anything other than floating in space as a kind of neutral potential. Then something comes in and activates it. Now, we believe in our faith that that force is love. Scientists, of course, are not going to give that meaning to it, and so they will just say there are random perturbances, that is, perturbations of the energy field that causes a fluctuation and then a vibration. And that fluctuation of vibration then results in what they call an attractor field. And that attractor field begins to impose itself upon the configuration of particles. So particles begin to be drawn into that attractor field and form patterns. And as more and more particles are drawn into it, it begins to compress and compress until it draws to itself a compressed configuration that at some point will release, and it releases with photons of light. And that release then becomes an act of creation. We know now that that is basically what preceded the Big Bang of creating this universe. But we also know from the Hubble telescope penetrating deep and deep and deep beyond the local universe, the local galaxies, that this happens in all universes. And I chose a picture from the Hubble telescope to send to you with the promotion of this webinar of three galaxies hovering together, work coming together almost like a great pyramid of spirals. Three spirals leaning into each other. So you could see not only did the galaxy itself form from an attraction toward its center, but within galaxies, there's further attraction. And I can, based on what we know now, we can only say we presume there is attraction among universes, that universes are layered upon universes. And the evidence we have seems to confirm this supposition, although I can't say yet, none of us can, that it's a fact. We do see the logical progression, where in all things there is a presence of love that attracts. And it attracts, 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 until that attraction becomes a field of attraction. And that field of attraction then represents a coherent reality into which life can be given birth and burst forth from there. I'll run the risk of boring a few of you with an old story I've told many times, but I think it may make maybe more relevant to what I'm saying right now. And then we have new listeners who haven't been in my webinars. And that is the story of the bluebonnets. When my parents moved to, built their home, and they moved into the property that was eventually to become my mother's very renowned garden, one of the first things I wanted to do for them was to plant bluebonnets. Bluebonnets in the field, because after all, we were in Texas, and bluebonnets are the Texas flower. So I brought all kinds of bluebonnet seeds, and I sowed them in the front field exactly the way they were supposed to be sowed, in the autumn, doing the right preparatory soaking of the seeds, and just at the right time. Next year, not a single bluebonnet came up. So we did this 3 years in a row. Not a single bluebonnet came up. Not a single one. And I talked to a florist and ran my procedures past the florist, and they said, well, you're doing all the right things. I don't know why those bluebonnets are not coming up. And she made a random statement. I don't know that it was I think it was more just something she was just kind of piping off to say as a joke. But maybe it was a guided message to me, because she said, you know, bluebonnets are kind of particular. It's strange how they'll grow on some slopes, and others you give them the best of circumstances and they just won't grow. So she said, maybe they're just not meant to be on your property. And I thought, now that's ridiculous. So I said to the florist, I said, well, do you have any potted bluebonnets? And she said, yeah, I have some potted bluebonnets. I said, okay, I'll buy six. And I took plants, mature plants, and I planted them on the field. And this was in very early spring. Once those mature bluebonnets were planted on that field, all those seeds my mother and I had been spreading, they sprung up instantly. Well, instantly, within a few days, but just the minute the weather was right. All those years of seeds had been lying there dormant, waiting for a signal. And they just shot up. And it was the most beautiful carpet of blue you have ever seen. So what was it waiting for? Well, I think it was waiting for a signal of love or a signal of come forth. Come forth. Let it be, as we're told in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, actually, we're told in the book of John, in reference to the book of Genesis, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, I think the only word that could have been would be let it be. Let it be. God created from being, not by doing, but by extending the grace of divine being into the potential for attraction of all other things to be. And when we planted those living bluebonnets, it was like a physical action inspiration that said, let it be. And all the other bluebonnets came up. Now, I think this is something you could take into your life and apply it in many ways, because you may have been sowing the fields of your life with prayers, with hopes, dreams, affirmations. You may even, you know, have storyboard cards. You may be very elaborate in how you're hoping to create a better life for yourself. It just may be that some of these things are waiting a physical action, presence of that being. It could be that you have done too much and been too little. See, what I was doing with the bluebonnets is I was sowing seed. I was raking the ground, sowing seeds. It was all and fertilizer, but it was all action. It was action, 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 with a little bit of thought projection. Actually, a lot of thought projection, which shows that thoughts really don't get the job done. Now, thoughts are powerful. Don't let me underestimate their power in your awareness, because thoughts take us into the field of consciousness. And it is from consciousness that all things eventually come forth. But thoughts alone and by themselves won't get the job done. And what gets the job done is the physical presence of being. I know that all of you have had a friend at some point in their life who has been in a state of bereavement. Perhaps it was the loss of a loved one, the loss of a career, a child desperately ill, a home burned down, something that was a cause of great bereavement. Perhaps they've just been told they have a terminal illness. There are no thoughts and no words that can make a difference, but showing up there with them, giving them a hug. This is the power of a hug. This is the power of the glance between two eyes, that you're there. It's the presence of being that activates the attractor field. Being is what attracts. Being activates attraction. In the beginning, there was being. And there was the body of God, which were the adamantine particles, the spirit of God, and it was all languishing in sacred space. Nothing was happening until something was introduced. That introduction was the being of God as love, and everything began to move around into new configurations. And so we have many levels of being ourselves. We are the roles we play. We are the person that lives behind the name we carry. We are our personal history. We are the way our loved ones see us. We are the person who wants to be valued in certain ways in our profession. All these are levels of being. But way beyond that also, we are a child of God. We are a spirit. Love is who we are. We have our place in the universe. And as you call forth the seeds you have sown to sprout and bring forth to life the life you desire, it is going to take the power of your being to activate that. Now, I'm not saying that a lot of our of what you've learned about attraction doesn't work. It does, but it doesn't work well enough repeatedly until it attaches to the being you are. And an interesting thing about affirmation, and I'm going to mute a couple of these calls because of background noise. If you want to speak, just mute again, star 6, and then press 1 so that you actually come on my message board. If you make an affirmation or a desire that has no connection with the being, with the way you're being, it won't work. It won't work because the power behind every affirmation, the power behind every postulate, the power behind every aspiration, the power behind every dream and desire is the being you are. And given the fact that there's a minimum of a dozen beings with all of us, and I'm not talking about dysfunctional schizophrenic beings, I'm talking about all normal stuff, all good, all normal stuff, just the range of beings we are. We're one way to our husband. We're one way to our children. And I don't mean that there's discrepancy. It's just different. We're a different way to our sister, our brother, our best friend, and so on. We change hats when we go to our work, our business. We're professional. And we're sometimes we become a very different person when we're driving the car. Well, there's at least a dozen beings for all of us. And if the affirmation pertains to one being, but you're living in another being, you won't get it. You just won't get it. And this is, we're going to learn, in our webinar, we're going to learn the real truth of the attractor fields from which the universe was created, from which you were created. And I ask a real potent question when I started talking, like, how did you get to be here? Well, my friends, from the beginning of the little sperm and the zygote coming together and forming a brand new baby body, there was an attractor field. Now, the only thing that probably was evident in the beginning is that it was a human attractor field. And then that it was an attractor field that belonged in a certain family, a certain demographics, a certain continent, maybe a certain race or certain language group. That attractive field took on certain qualities, but it hadn't really refined itself. There was a lot of generality. It was a girl or a boy. That was certainly determined from the very beginning. And that attractive field began to take on more and more specific qualities as the little embryo grew. And what was determining that attractive field was the heart. Your heart was the first organ ever created. Your heart actually commanded your whole creation until a fairly long way down the line. It was first your heart, then your autonomic nervous system, which then transitioned into the central nervous system, which existed before your brain existed. Isn't that amazing? Your brain is a fairly derivative organ, certainly compared to the heart, which was your first organ. And your heart is what was determining what would shape up in that attractor field. And by the time it was all shaped up, it was like forming the behind-the-scenes numbers of a lottery field, and only one person could win. It was you. This was your life. And that attractor field was so strong in relation to the attractor field that you are. You were born. You were born through the unity of two powerful attractor fields. One was your new baby body, and the other was you from the center of your soul's being. Two attractor fields coming together to form a life. And this is basically the way every grand and great thing happens to you, is two or more attractor fields are coming together, and they're perfect. They're right for each other. Now, thoughts are great for exploration. Feelings are essential for intuition. But what it takes in order to really confirm and unite the power of two or more attractor fields coming together is the being that you are, because that's where the center of your attractor fields is. And some of these functional shallow beings don't have as much power as the center of your true being, your heart. That original being that formed your life, that original being you are, the love that you are, which is always in union with God, that's your most powerful attractor field. Now, that's not to say that all these other attractor fields, like let's say, I'll use myself as an example. As an artist, I have a certain kind of talent that I've cultivated through the years, a certain kind of aesthetic preference. Certain things inspire me more than others, and I look for things that match my attractor field as an artist. And it's from knowing that attractor field and managing it that I get the right subject, I make the right connection, and I create the most powerful paintings. But they're not great paintings if they don't also transition into a connection with my soul, with the love that I am. Somewhere in all of that, in the process of painting, it all comes together, and I'm there. And I'm the artist, not just Glenda the painter, but Glenda is the artist. And not just Glenda, but the subject itself is the artist. So the painting is painting itself, and I'm painting the painting. So management of our attractor fields is a really key and important thing in making your life happen the way it's supposed to, appropriately. So often we'll try to get things that we just want because everybody else has it, and they're not appropriate for our life. We're not going to get those things. I'm sorry, but you're not. And yes, you may need more money. Yes, you may need more friends. You may need better career opportunities. No denying, I think we could all use more love. Absolutely. But we want it to be the right career opportunity. We want it to be friends that really mean something to us, not just people we meet occasionally and socialize with, and so on. It's having these be the right things. That's what nourishes and satisfies us. And that only comes through managing the attractor fields of our life and understanding that we will be connecting with attractor fields in life. That's how it's done, my friends. And once we get enough perfect connections with the attractor fields in us, we expand them to include more people. Just like this picture I'm sending you on our promotion of the three galaxies coming together. My goodness, if three galaxies can start attracting each other, why wouldn't we, as human beings, attract more and more and more? Once we have a powerful attractor field in place. And this is what we can actually become so jealous of, and it's so sad because it's better to study instead of resent. But the fact is, successful people have a powerful attractor field, and we'll just feel sorry for ourselves and say, they just get everything. They just keep attracting and attracting and attracting. Well, my friends, they're not better people than you. They're not more blessed by God than you. They're not more lovely than you. They're not more deserving than you. Somewhere along the line, they either learned about attractor fields, or they happened into one, or somebody helped them into one, and they managed it well. That's it. And it doesn't even matter with what kind of attractor field you want to start with. Could be a spiritual one. It could be about your family, friends, health. It doesn't matter what you start with, because your attractor field will attract more, and it will grow from there. And Yeshua is guiding me to get you started on the right basis, where what you will attract to you is right for you, and it will nourish your life so that even in the second and third and fourth rings of your attractor field, it will still be right for you. You'll be living in the right place, with the right work, among people who appreciate you, respect you, you love to be with, and you feel the love that you are radiating through all these rings of attraction. And attraction is not just a one-way street, it's also giving. It's like a bellows. You give into it, and the fire burns brighter, and then comes back to nurture all of the attractor fields around you. So please read the promotion that I'm sending out. This is a valuable, valuable course that will help you make sense of everything you have studied in all of our webinars before. And one of the things I'm going to offer that we've never done before, never done before, this time, because I think it's very important with this course to have peer connection and to not have you feel like you're on the spot in class to express your particular needs or difficulties. I'm setting up a conference call line on one of the weekdays. We haven't decided which day yet, but it'll probably be either Wednesday or Thursday, where you can just call in and have a jam session with your fellow students. I won't be there. It's just between you and them, discussing what you're learning and how to apply it. And I think this will be a very, very valuable way for you to clarify information at your level of understanding. And remember that we all have different levels of understanding at any given moment, and you have different levels of understanding through the course of your life. I can't tell you how many people have read Love Without End 100 times, and it's never the same book. You take what you can, you use it to make the best life you can, you embrace the change with grace and optimism, then you let the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit work. claim your own realizations, then you come back to study material or whatever source of inspiration you're working with, and you see, wow, I can take this a step further now. And that's the way it always is with all really, really good material. The books you can read once and put down probably never had anything in them for you in the first place. The courses you can hear once, and that's it, probably had nothing important for you at all. It's the ones that keep challenging you to grow and come back to. Those are the ones that really move you through the pathways of life. And, you know, this is what we provide for you. Now, we must get into the blessing. Our time has come. And I want to encourage you to take everything I mentioned today, because this, what I told you today, is a course in itself. It's about what receives the blessing. It's you that receives the blessing. The love that you are, the you that you are, not the problems you have, not the little external secondary identities you have. You come into the you that you are. This is why I ask you to, and I would like to ask you right now, be in your seat, your feet on the ground, weather permitting, be barefoot so that you can attract all the energies of the earth. Allow your attention to just fall away and settle into the heart. Be in the center of your being, and in that center, pray your prayer to God. Be with God. Be with God in that place where you are most perfectly who you are. And attract the blessings that are being given to you by the Holy Spirit, by Yeshua, by the earth, and by your Holy Creator. Be in that place, and I will sign off our Q&A so that we can have a perfect recording. And I would invite any blessing givers who are wanting to share this moment with me to join me, that the blessing may be magnified through our union. And, of course, this is what we do in the blessing seminars. We come together to create this most powerful attractor field, which is what you felt at the conclusion of your blessing seminar. Perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. And this is what happens within all communities of love. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, thank you so much for joining us in our human life, and most of all for staying with us, to be a vital and powerful force within the human attractor field, that we may attract all the blessings of God and attract into full realization and illumination all the love that has been given to us and all the realization that is possible for us to have individually and collectively. Thank you for supplying us with the power of the Holy Spirit and all the potential that has ever been for us to be all that we can ever be. Amen. We will now begin the energetic flow. the energetic gift of your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and allow every part of your body, heart, soul, and being to assimilate and receive the love of God and the blessings that have been offered to you by the Holy Spirit, by the earth, and Yeshua. Be well and know that you're loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.